Welcome to a conversation between Master Chow and Alan. Alan, if you'd like to say hello for the recording.
Oh, hello everybody.
And the topic for today's conversation is prophecy. So the next voice you hear should be Master Chow.
Good afternoon, Master Chow.
So, what are we talking about today?
Right, today's subject is prophecy.
Okay.
So I suppose the first question is, what is prophecy as far as you're concerned? I mean, down here we tend to regard prophecy as a way of predicting the future. Mm-hmm. But I suppose the question is this really even possible? Is it the case perhaps that most predictions are just probability assessments of future events based upon current knowledge and perhaps augmented with some educated guessing, which may or may not be psychic in nature?
Well, there is of course some of that to it. I mean, a lot of your stock market works on that sort of basis, an algorithmic idea of collated data giving you a predicted probability. So you do use that in your day-to-day life without necessarily realizing you're doing it. But when people talk about prophecy, they are talking much more about the predictions of the future, knowing what is coming, what is going to happen, precognition, premonition, all of those things kind of get wrapped up together in the one subject.
Yeah.
The problem with it is it's kind of a very black and white approach. The idea that you can either predict the future or you can't predict the future. And it's not ever that black and white. You have to factor in that the more of you there are alive, the harder it is to predict, because the greater number of variables you are creating. Because it is probability. It's probability of where a certain set of events is leading to. The likely outcome, the likelihood of this occurring, based on the energy, the intent, the deeds, the actions, words, thoughts, so on and so forth, of the players involved. So the smaller the number of the players, the easier it is to narrow down the fewer number of options. The larger the number there is, the more choices you get, the more variables you get, the harder it is to know which outcome is most likely. Because this is all to do with probability. The likelihood of. So you can have an idea where you can feel the likelihood of something and say that's going to happen. It's got the strongest amount of energy behind it, the strongest pull, the most likelihood. And psychics tend to feel that likelihood like a pull, a bit like a magnet.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't guarantee it. It's not a guarantee.
No, so it's not set in stone.
Not set in stone. Occasionally it is, but usually then the pull to it is very close to the actual event, by which point other likelihoods have already fallen by the wayside.
Yeah.
Also, the type of event will determine on how loud that pull is. You know, so the more it is involved with, the more people involved in it. So if it is an event with a large loss of life, that is quite a significant event. It'll have a bigger pull of energy to it. So more people will feel drawn to it. More people will almost feed into that energy, honing down that likelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to do with energy of how you're being pulled along your timeline. But the more of you there are, the more variables, the more choices create different lines, different options to happen. So that's one of the avenues with prophecy, The other avenue is to look at it from the other side of it, the seeing something. So the idea of a premonition, the precognizance, where they see a future event rather than they predict a future event. There is a difference. So prophecies can be either predictions, where they are feeling something is likely, or a premonition where they see something has happened and report that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are feeling something's likely, and you'll get quite a few psychics and even mediums sometimes who will feel that, that's one thing. The premonition where they see something, what they are seeing is something further down a future timeline. So they are getting a glimpse of a future timeline. But again, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Again, it is still a potential. It may not even be your timeline they're seeing. They're just simply seeing something playing out at a future point on a future timeline. Knowing whose timeline it is, knowing if it's even your timeline, well, they don't have that information. So some of those are, some of those aren't. But the problem is, once you see it, you also start to act in accordance to it, that you bring it into your timeline. You create it, you manifest it, or you push it away. So the knowing of a thing can also change its likelihood to occur. Right. This is the problem with manifesting, the idea that you create your own reality. You like it when you're talking about manifesting the things you want. But it works exactly the same with when you see a glimpse of the future. You manifest and bring it forward, or you manifest and push it away, therefore changing that reality. So the set in stone is the problem here. The likelihood that it absolutely will happen, that's the problem. There's a very small number of things that are glimpsed that absolutely meet that criteria. A lot of things that are glimpsed or felt or sensed are open to interpretation of what you are picking up as well as whether it will happen. It is only a possibility, possibly even a probability, but not necessarily a certainty.
Right, okay. You mentioned precognition there. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the difference between that and prophecy, or are they the same thing? I mean, precognition is usually mentioned in the context of ESP, yes, which seems to be primarily psychic in nature. So if prophecy is the same...
It all sits in the same family.
Yeah, so it's primarily a psychic phenomenon.
But again, even then, that word is slightly misleading, because mediums can also feel the likelihood of an event. But they wouldn't call it by the same name, because they feel they're getting that information from spirit, even if they're not. Mm. So it all gets muddled up in the same thing. The thing with a premonition and precognition, it tends to be visual. They tend to have an experience of the future event, whereas prophecy tends to be more... doesn't always have the substance to it. It can be more subtle. It can come out in lots of different ways that are less tangible sometimes and have less information to them. If you see something play out like a little piece of movie, film, of a future event, well, you have a lot of information there. You'll have emotion tied up with it. You'll have thoughts tied up with it. That tends to be more precognitive. It'll have a bit more of a shape to it. Prophecy on the whole, still, that is still a prophecy, because you still don't know it's going to definitely happen. But the precognitive will get a little bit more of a package, if you like, of the information. Some prophecies are very loose, very fluid, and they therefore are very open to interpretation. If you think about Nostradamus, you know, a third of what he said came to pass in one shape, form or another. Two-thirds were the ravings of a man who was unhappy a lot of the time. So he picked up on energies, on probabilities, and he wove it together as a story. Occasionally, though, he hit on something that was going to happen, the likelihood of probability, things in your world not being as random as you like to think they are, because you're all working towards similar goals. But Dr. Damas had a lot less people to deal with, a lot less influences to deal with than your modern-day prophets would have.
Yeah, so fewer causes in effect.
Absolutely. So fewer threads being woven in, driving things in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, is there a general timeline of coming future events, or are there multiple timelines and any one of them might manifest?
Well, see, now you get into the problem of what you mean by a timeline. So if you take the simple idea of a timeline is the linear way you personally experience your life, your own individual experience of time, well, that has a path that has a certain trajectory to it. Your soul is driving it in a certain straight line, but your free will sends it freewheeling all over the place. Now, your actions change how you experience your timeline and change where things arrive along that timeline. They bring them forward, they push them back. Trauma can push things back a long way down the line. But that's still all along that one piece of thread you were walking personally, your own individual timeline. Your current reality, your earth, your humanity, your place where you are has a connected, cohesive timeline that you are all threads within, yes? But if you talk to the people who like to consider alternative dimensions, different realities, those would all be different timelines running parallel to the collective timeline you are on. So it again is the word timeline. You have to be very specific what you mean by it. So the timeline, the collective timeline humanity is on, has a trajectory, has points of impact along it, points of collision, if you like, where things occur as drivers for humanity. Markers, you know, the wiping out of the dinosaurs was on that pathway, otherwise you would not have come round. So there are things that are on that collective timeline, which will play out regardless. And humanity moves them backwards and forwards a bit with your actions. Then there are things that occur on the timeline because they're coming out of humanity's actions. So things you bring into being through your collective actions, your collective consciousness, your collective intent, where there are lessons that have to drop in to push humanity back onto its path, onto its trajectory, or to act as a wake-up call or a nudge, if you like. So those get pushed onto the timeline by spirit. We nudge things to keep things moving on track.
Is the timeline something that's primarily something that exists in the physical world, or does it extend to your plane of existence?
No, your world.
Just our world.
Timeline. Right. Line does not work for spirit.
Yeah, you're more circles, aren't you?
Absolutely. We're spherical. We don't do anything in a line.
Right.
So we don't experience a timeline. That's so if you think linear time, anything that has a beginning, a middle, and an end in that idea of time as you see it, that all belongs to the physical realm. Whether you consider that as a single dimension or multiple dimensions, so a single reality or multiple realities, it really doesn't matter. It's all within the physical realm. It's all linear. Our time is spherical, so we don't experience it the same way.
Right.
Which is also why premonition and the idea of prophecy is slightly baffling to us. Because from our point of view, it's all happening anyhow.
Right.
So what does it matter? You know, you like premonitions and prophecy because you are walking towards something and you like to know what you're walking towards. For us, we are experiencing all of the potential options, all of the things that could happen. So what does it matter?
Is there a connection between prophecy and mediumship?
Explain the question a bit more. What do you mean?
Well, could mediums obtain information about future coming events from spirit via mediumship?
Yes. Yes, so sometimes spirit might give you a heads up or a nudge or a warning. But again, be mindful of the time. Because your time runs at a very different pace to ours, sometimes we don't give you a lot of notice, and sometimes we might give you almost too much notice because we're out of sync. because, you know, we're not experiencing time at the same rate that you are, so we don't always quite necessarily get it to you at the optimum moment. But occasionally, yes, if there is something coming that really isn't for your best, that needs to be shifted slightly, or you need to shift slightly, we will sometimes give insight on that. The problem with it is that, of course, you quite often ignore us. Because of free will, you choose to just blatantly carry on going and walk right into it anyhow. And that's fine, that's your choice. But yes, sometimes the spirit will give you nudges, and it doesn't require you to be a medium. Your own guides can do that. Your own soul will do that. But yes, if you're a medium, you may also get some insight from spirit, particularly in and around things where there is a large loss of life to humanity, something that will impact a large number of humanity. And what often mediums will pick up, healers in particular, is they will pick up the vibrational changes because we are preparing from our side to receive. So what mediums sometimes get is they will get a sense that something is coming and they think it's a warning. But actually what they're picking up is our readiness. We're getting ready to receive a large collection of souls coming home. And you just interpret it as a warning, because how else would you interpret it from your side? So it does depend on the event.
Right, okay. Is there a limited time span for accuracy in making predictions? I remember many years ago.
Not really. Yeah. You know, the closer it is, the better the chance, because the less chance of variables. Even with that, if someone truly holds on to it, if someone truly puts all their intent into it, they could make it happen. So if they were told something was going to occur in 10 years' time, for instance, it would be particularly affecting them as an individual. Then their own intent could do it.
Yeah, I mean, I once read a book on prophecy where the author claimed it was not possible to make really accurate predictions beyond more than about 6 months from the present. Now, his contention was, as you go beyond this time period, it becomes increasingly hard to gain any real accuracy due to there being so many unknown factors, he means causes, that will eventually influence what will happen.
Yeah, but that, again, does depend on what type of event you're talking about. So if you are talking about an event that affects somebody else, then they're quite right. But if it's an event that's going to affect you, then you can manifest the reality that gets you to that point from your free will. So it does depend on what you mean by the event. What is the outcome? What is being predicted? So, it's a stupid one here. The idea that a person would get married on a certain date. Well, your own free will can manufacture that. But then if it is an earthquake going to happen on the other side of the world, well, no, of course not. You have no power to conjure that. So that prediction would then fall into the nature of how things were playing out from lots of variables, mostly in that instance, what is Mother Earth doing? So you couldn't manipulate that and bring it around. So it does depend on what is being predicted. It's too blanket a statement otherwise. And who it's about and where it's about and what it is. All of those variables matter when it comes to predictions. So things like the idea of a leader that might suddenly run a country. There's a lot of variables to that on the face of it, but actually there's usually only quite a few that are relevant to whether that is likely. And those can be watched and monitored. And those can be affected by people's intentions. So you could push that agenda and create that reality. Or push it away again. So the prediction idea is not as straightforward. It has to come down to what is being predicted.
Right, okay. Now, to what extent can prediction be affected by thought energy? I mean, once a prediction is made, it tends to draw the attention of humanity, particularly if it's something big like, for example, the end of the world prophecy in 2012 by Nostradamus. Then it occurred to me that you know, even if it has no basis in reality, if enough people believe in it, they can actually make it happen.
And that's the whole point of intent and free will, your ability to manifest your reality, absolutely. The only benefit you have then really is the number of population at Nostradamus' time, to the point at which his prophecy was playing out. The numbers were in your favor, because the percentage of people that would believe at the time when Nostradamus wrote it was proportionally quite large to the number of people who were alive. But by the time you got around to the end of the world prophecy 2012 and, you know, the millenniums and all of these sorts of things, there's too many of you to bring those things around. Even if there is still a percentage, the numbers were in your favor. Because of the type of event. The type of event was affecting every living human being. There was too many of you.
Yeah, I mean, the end of the world prophecy in 2012, I mean, it seemed to be based upon a complete misinterpretation of the Mayan calendar, which just happened to end in 2012.
Yes. But that's just because they ran out of calendar.
That's right, yes. But this was equated, wasn't it, to the end of the world, and that was a big mistake.
Yeah, but in many ways, though, if you think about it, it was the end of a world. It was at the end of a world that held any information about the Mayans, you know, that they could see for themselves. So from the Mayans' point of view, they were right. But from the rest of humanity's point of view, they were wrong. Perspective is a very important thing. So to the Mayans, had they still been running as a culture, their world would have ended. Because they believed it, they would have made it happen. So had they not already gone extinct, they would have made themselves extinct.
Okay. Now, what's your view of Edgar Cayce? I mean, his name is certainly synonymous with prophecy. Cayce appears to have made quite a lot of big predictions in his time. He seemed to be operating mostly in trance, hence he was known as a sleeping prophet. How do these predictions work, and were they made by his subconscious mind, or was something else going on?
Difficult to tell with him. He was a little bit of a muddle, if you like. Definitely a few of them were coming from spirit, particularly the spirit that worked with him. They had a very interesting dynamic between them. And so there was information being fed to him by that particular spirit with its own agenda. Problem is, once that starts to happen, his subconscious mind, his own ego, and the way these things are received, then start to feed in and start to add to the number. So absolutely he had integrity in what he was saying. He believed in what he was saying. He didn't always recognize, though, when it wasn't coming from the same source. So you have a mixed bag there. You have some that have come through from this one spirit with a particular agenda, and then you have his own subconscious and ego adding to the mix because of how this information is being received. And that's a risk all mediums have to understand. You have to understand how you react to the demands of the people you are giving information to, and how easy it is to want to please them, to want to sit in that validation, to sit in that adulation. So it's a trap that many of you can fall into, but yes, it is one that also did occur there. So some have come from spirit. It's less clear.
Right, okay. Now, to what extent is the subconscious mind involved in prediction? I'm thinking primarily in terms of situations where there's a very large number of causes operating, and it seems to me that the conscious mind of the individual couldn't possibly analyse all this accurately. Something else must be going on. Is it a subconscious phenomenon where the subconscious analyses it and then presents the result to the conscious mind?
No, because I would disagree with that. I would think you're savant. Their conscious mind absolutely could work on an algorithmic basis with sufficient data to predict a fairly reasonable outcome for certain types of event. So a savant could work like a computer would with an algorithm. So the human mind, the conscious mind, is capable of dealing with a lot of data. So there are individuals who could function in that same way, like your stock market uses algorithms to predict stock prices. It's the same formula. But yes, a lot of it is more in the unconscious part, more in what the subconscious is doing, because it's filtering out information in a slightly more subjective way. It's making connections, it's looking for patterns. And because it's looking for patterns, it can then inadvertently find a pattern and bring it to the surface. So a lot of this is actually to do with pattern recognition. And that's what's going on. You're looking for patterns. You're looking for connections all the time. You're driven to look for connections as part of a pack animal. Your human part is looking for connection. So there's a lot of you driving towards this idea of looking for connection. So of course then looking for patterns is part of that. And predictions for the future is a lot to do with pattern recognition.
But if we liken that to the individual, you know, who's like a stockbroker trying to predict where the stock market is going, and you mentioned the algorithms, well, of course, most of the work has been done by the algorithm and the computer. So my analogy really was is that really would be the equivalent of what the subconscious mind would be doing.
No, because the subconscious mind is less clear with what it's doing. The algorithm is very precise. It's like a laser. The subconscious will be doing it a lot more like pick and mix. You know, it'll know there's a lot of sweets there and it'll recognize quite a lot of them are in pink packages, but it wouldn't necessarily know what all those pink packages meant. The algorithm would be able to pick out the actual sweet by name, by color, by size. So the algorithm is more than what the subconscious would be doing. But the subconscious would be looking for patterns, but they would be slightly more subjective. So a similarity in color, a similarity in shape, a similarity in vibration does not make things the same.
Right, okay.
It's a very subtle point. I appreciate it's a subtle point.
Yeah, of course. Now, do spirits ever predict specific events for the future? I mean, I'm thinking about the famous Oracle at Delphi, for example, in ancient Greece, where a priestess would seemingly go into a trance and communicate with Apollo or some other deity and obtain advice and prophecies on behalf of a petitioner who would sort the consultation.
Yes.
But, you know, what was really going on here? Was this really a spirit speaking through?
It's a bit of a problem again. Because, yes, absolutely, the oracle did speak through their vessel there and was trying to guide humanity. So some of the advice that was being given to assist humanity. However, after a time, the question started to get less about helping humanity and more about helping themselves. But the oracle was still trying to educate, trying to help humanity do better. So the oracle definitely was giving insight into how things were likely to play out, never guaranteeing it. It was always, well, look, A equals B equals C. In an idea of trying to teach, to educate, to show, to make them consider, why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? What are you willing to accept as the consequences? But little by little, the human's greed, the human's ego, the human's desire to just know for themselves and their own personal power corrupted the type of questions that were being asked and the reasons for the questions. So as that was happening, the oracle was not playing ball. They were getting more cagey in what they were giving. They were getting more slightly cryptic in what they were giving, to try to get the human to engage with, why are you asking this? What is the point of this? But also, because of the demand, because of the supply, the vessels themselves felt trapped, felt they had to keep giving information because their very life depended on it at times. So you did then start to get their own intuition started to kick in. They started to give information that wasn't coming from the oracle, but was coming perhaps from what they knew of the supplicant. And they could kind of guess what was likely. Or actually just coming purely from a subconscious place. So in the beginning, it was a lot more the oracle. Towards the middle, it started to get a bit coloured. And towards the end, it was mostly coming from the ego or the subconscious or a little bit of intuition of the vessels themselves, coloured with a very healthy dose of the person hearing what they wanted to hear.
It always sounds like it came down to the level of just a psychic reading at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, it was even less than that. Sometimes they were just telling them what they wanted to hear because they felt they had no choice. They were put under so much pressure. And it's an interesting one there, where they weren't doing it for gratification and validation. There was a bit in the middle where there was some of that. Towards the end, they were actually doing it just to not be slaughtered. So, you know, it's that idea of if you torture someone, you can't trust anything they say.
Yes.
Because they will tell you whatever you want to hear to stop the torture. In some ways, the same psychology was at play there. They knew that if they didn't give the answer that the person wanted to hear, particularly with several of the people that were coming, they would have just been killed.
Yes, I can well imagine that. My goodness. Now, does the astral plane have any role to play in prophecy? It's a favoured theory, isn't it, in the occult, that things happen in the astral before they manifest in the physical world. Now, this leads many people into assuming that a person who can consciously access the astral could potentially become aware of an event taking place before it manifests in the physical world.
That would apply to large return of humans coming back to spirit, because you would see our preparation.
Right.
So on a large loss of life event, in the astral plane, you would perhaps see our preparation for receiving.
Right.
So in that instance, that would be true. In a few other instances, again, you may see a slight echo in the astral plane, where it's slightly out of sync with your timeline. But they would be very far and few between and very hard to interpret.
Mm.
So even if you saw it, you wouldn't necessarily know what you were seeing. That the ripple where the timelines aren't quietly aligned would be so subtle that even if you saw it, knowing what it really truly meant would be very hard. You could surmise, you could project onto it what you thought it was. That doesn't mean you would be right. But like everything, you might be right 1 out of 100 simply because that's the law of averages.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Now, can a person be trained to do prophecy? I mean, as you know, there are many training courses for people wishing to pursue mediumship.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I've never come across any that focused on developing prophecy. I mean, well, is this really an aspect of psychic development for certain people who are, you know, if you like, naturally biased towards this?
But the thing is that if you are naturally biased towards it, don't train.
Oh, right.
Because at what price are you going to pay? You see, the thing is, if you are precognitive, you're actually precognitive, and you are actually seeing a future snapshot of something, the assumption of humanity is you're meant to do something about it. But you're not. You're a witness. Mm. The job is to witness it sometimes, is to merely see it, not to do anything about it. These things are never for you to do anything about. So what good is it? You can't stop it. It's very, if it's a true, honest to God, genuine glimpse of the future, the chances of you actually being able to stop that, if it's something that has to happen to humanity, it has to happen. So what good is it for you to see it? Again, if it's your own timeline, slightly different to if it's the timeline of someone else or everyone else in humanity, again, it's not cut and dried. But if you're training someone to have prophecies, then they wouldn't just be prophecies about their own life. You would be trying to get prophecies that would affect a specific person or everybody.
Mm, yeah.
But you're going to conjure up a lot of answers there from the wrong place. You can't train to do that.
Okay, right, fine. Well, final question then. Anything else you would like to say about prophecy?
Again, be careful what you wish for. You know, the idea that knowing the future is going to make your life happier is a fallacy. I mean, we can tell you the future. You're going to die. What good does that do you? I mean, we are very clear that we have a spiritual law. We cannot tell you when you are actually going to die, your death date. Because it would do you no good to know that. But you do know you're going to die, so you know something of your future. But you lose sight of the fact of how much power you have from the moment you're in now to the moment that that's going to happen. And by wanting to know the future, you are actually disempowering yourself from the choices you are making. You think knowing a future event will make you more powerful, will give you more power, give you more choice. But to be honest, the opposite is genuinely true. You get so obsessed about it. You actually stop enjoying everything else. You cut out other options in your life. You close down your life. instead of living it fully. The future will happen regardless of whether you know it or not. Tomorrow is coming. But don't sacrifice today because you're desperate to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That would be our advice.
Okay, well, thank you.
Good. So, if that is everything?
It is.
Good. And enjoy today.
I will. Good. Thank you.
That's why it's called the present. I had to do that joke. It was important to do the joke, wasn't yes. it? The idea that today is a gift because it's the present. I like that joke. It's a good yeah. one. But if more people focused on today and stopped worrying about tomorrow, you'd probably find that tomorrow was actually a much nicer day.
Right.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
I will finish on that note. So, on that note, I say goodbye and yes, goodbye. Goodbye. So that's the end of that conversation. So thank you, Alan. And we'll both say goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.